The problems that man and his human leaders face seem very potent right now. In fact, we may wonder how we can individually possibly function in blessing. In fact, what's going on in the world? After I'd written these notes, these sermon notes up, there was a Yahoo.com story that appeared on Friday. The title is, "What a Week, Japan, Libya, the Fed, G7 Send Markets in Wild Ride." It has been a wild week. And we still don't know what's going to happen with that nuclear reactor, if there's going to be a complete meltdown or not in Japan, and how the radioactive cloud is actually beginning to hit the west coast of the United States. It's affecting the readings there to a little bit. But the March 14, 2011 nationwide paper, the USA Today, page 6A, reported that revolts that started in Tunisia and spread throughout the Arab world have forced leaders to pay attention to public sentiment for the first time, analysts said. And these uprisings continued. In fact, on the same page, Nada Al-Waldi had an article, "Clash Outside Palace on Bahrain Intensifies," and it told of unrest last week in Bahrain, in Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Oman, Egypt, Jordan, and now also in Morocco. In fact, there was an uprising in Casablanca. Well, if we add to this the crisis in Japan with the cleanup efforts of the earthquake and tsunami and nuclear reactor damage threat of a nuclear reactor meltdown, and mention also how oil prices are affecting world economies amid the Middle East unrest and Japan crisis, it seems that forces that the world faces are too potent for even world rulers to address, let alone for us as individuals to address. And we may wonder, what's going on? Why is this going on? Even in the religious realm, there are very difficult or seemingly unstoppable problems. Page 13b of the newspaper that I quoted, the USA Today, ran Kathy Lynn Grossman's article, "Pastor Authors Love Wins Bedevils Traditionalists," and it told of efforts by Rob Bell. He's a rock star, popular young pastor who graduated from Fuller Seminary. He has a book out, "Love Wins," and it hit bookstores last Tuesday. Bell claims, among other things, that death does not cut off the ability to repent, since he sees no infinite eternal torment for things that people did in their finite years of life. Now, this is amazing because this is supposed to be an evangelical seminary that he graduated from. But the Bible claims in 2 Thessalonians 1:9 that people are going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. So I don't know how Mr. Bell believes that that's not going to be so. He also claims that Jesus makes salvation possible even for people who never know his name, claiming that we have to allow for mystery. Of course, that's opposite John 3:36 that says, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." But Pastor Rob Bell is very popular with some, and seemingly unstoppable, even by conservative religious leaders, who charge him as being a false teacher, a Jesus-optional gospel leading innocence to damnation, and a traitor to the evangelical label. So whether you look at the religious realm, you look at the political realm, you look at governments, it seems that there are enormous challenges to that which is upright and peaceful that you and I, from a personal level, have no control over. So we ask the question, in view of the potent forces seen in the world's historical events, how can we individually find blessing, and why? The need section of the bulletin insert reads, "The problems that the world and its leaders face seem so potent. How can we individually possibly function in blessing and why?" I am so grateful for the chapter that we have in the book of Daniel that we're going to be looking at today, Daniel chapter 10, because it gives us insight as to what is going on in the spiritual realm that has tremendous effects on world history and historical events. And I think this past week was a week that was busier than usual. And I don't think it's a mistake. It's probably the Lord allowed it to occur because he was setting up for the passage that we're going to be covering. Because he's trying to demonstrate what we need to do in view of the fact that there is a tremendous war being waged between good and evil angels. Angels that are much more powerful than any of us combined. And we have to resort to a very wise response and not go according to the world's regular response. Well, in the third year of Persia's King Cyrus, after some Hebrews had begun to return to Israel and rebuild the temple according to Ezra 1:1 and Ezra 3:8-10, Daniel received a vision about a great conflict for Israel, and it shattered any hope that he of Israel's peaceful resettlement. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That's his Babylonian name. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So it was a vision that he did understand. But you'll notice in verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. For 21 days he was mourning as a result of this vision that he saw. If you have a New International Version, it talks about the fact that the vision revealed that there was a great conflict ahead for Israel. A very prolonged conflict. And it bothered him deeply because he was hoping that his people at least would be able to get resettled into the land and be at peace. But all this vision predicted was trouble, trouble, trouble for Israel. He was apparently, though, too old and too tied to his administrative duties in the Persian government to return to Israel. Daniel would have been about 85 years of age or so at this time. So insight into Israel's imminent conflict left him mourning and fasting for 21 days while he sought God's explanation of the vision. In fact, verse 3 says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 entire weeks were fulfilled. Now I want to stop here. You probably have had experiences where you have prayed to God and the prayer answer did not come right away. It might not have come in an hour or 2 hours. It might have come weeks or sometimes even months later. I'm convinced that sometimes those delays in answers to prayer come in part because of angelic conflict issues. And we're going to find out that's what happened. Now, God allows this to occur because he wants to prolong our faith and build it up and so forth. But he allows it to occur just to remind us of the fact that we cannot handle these conflicts that are going on in the angelic realm humanly. We have to look to him. We are absolutely helpless. It's interesting, we got an email from Greg Vossler, who used to be our Nepal Christian Academy superintendent here many years ago. He's working in an Arab country right now. And he said that they are facing so many difficulties in the spiritual realm. He says, we've come to the point where we recognize that we are absolutely 100% dependent on God. If God doesn't open a door, we can't go anywhere. And that's exactly where God wants us all to be at all times. But especially if you're in a very difficult mission field like that, where he's at, and a field that is extremely opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God allows us to get into positions where we are absolutely helpless. And that's exactly where Daniel was at this point. Well, the clarification for this vision came from an interaction that Daniel then had with a very strong angel who supplied insight on the angelic conflict that impacts history and that we should apply today. In verses 4 through 6, notice, and on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, that would be the Tigris River. I lifted up mine eyes, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. And his eyes were as lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet were like the color to polished brass. And the voice of his words sounded like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but they heard a quaking, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Now this is an interesting bit of information for us. This was a very powerful, mighty angel, and his very presence and his just speaking the words caused Daniel to fall flat on his face, to have no strength within him. The men who were around him didn't see anything, but the very presence of the spirit being terrified them, and they fled to hide themselves. This is a very powerful being. You and I probably haven't faced this kind of a being, but This is a good angel, thankfully. It was a good angel. But Daniel's associates did not see the angel, but sensing his powerful presence, they trembled greatly and fled and hid, while Daniel was left weak and fell into a deep sleep upon hearing him speak. Now an angel's hand then touched him and set Daniel trembling up on his hands and his knees. So the powerful angel informed Daniel that he was highly esteemed of God, And so that he was supposed to stand upon his feet as the angel had been sent to give God's edifying message to him. Let me read that, verses 10 and 11. Behold, a hand touched me. Apparently this was an attending angel. And it set me up on my knees, upon my palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, this would be greatly beloved of God, understand the words that I am speaking to you, and stand upright, for unto you am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood up trembling. Now it's interesting, this happens in stages. The angel just sets him up on his hands and his knees. He can barely crawl. And then the good angel encourages us to stand up some more. So he stands up more, and he stood up, and he was just shaking. He was absolutely nervous because he was in the presence of a very powerful being. The very presence of this spirit was so overwhelming, it was difficult for Daniel even to live in his presence. This is why you and I have to be transformed. Our bodies have to be transformed before we can go in the presence of Almighty God, where there's an innumerable company of these angels. Otherwise, we wouldn't live. These spirit beings are very, very powerful. So Daniel stood up. He was still trembling at the powerful angel's mere presence. So the angel told him not to be afraid. The first part of verse 12, and he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. In other words, God sent me 21 days ago. But something happened in between. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is a very powerful demon who was behind the kingdom of Persia, he withstood me for 21 days. He tried to block me from coming to communicate this information to you for 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Apparently, there is a tremendous battle going. There are very powerful demons who are behind each of the countries, the major countries of the world. And there are good angels that are there confronting these demons to protect God's people and to make things possible for God's people to make progress. Otherwise, you and I probably would be annihilated within a split second. So there's probably a very powerful demon that is behind the government of the United States, very powerful. And there probably is a very powerful angel who is confronting him, seeking to run interference in the spiritual realm for we, his people, the people of God, so that we can even function, we can even live, we can even have a ministry. And this is the information that is given to us. So this display of this angel's vastly superhuman power was given to provide insight for Daniel and for all believers in all history that greatly superhuman good and evil spirit beings are locked in fierce combat behind historical events that impact world history. The strong angel reported that the first day, that's 21 days before, when Daniel had begun to seek God's explanation of the vision, he had seen of a great conflict, that God had directed the angel to go to Daniel and give him its explanation. However, regardless how powerful this good angel was, the main demon affecting the Persian kingdom had kept the strong godly angel from being able to reach Daniel for 21 days. So God had then directed Michael, a chief angel, to fight off the demon, so the powerful angel could finally reach Daniel and give him insight that God had wanted him to have. Now, at this point, someone may say, well, why did God wait 21 days to send Michael? He could have sent him a lot earlier. He waited 21 days so that Daniel would be aware of the fact that there was an angelic conflict going on and the effect of it on him, because this is very painful for Daniel not to have eaten properly. But the Lord allowed that to occur in order to reveal to Daniel the tremendous vulnerability he had to the angelic conflict. Incidentally, this is something that you and I need to realize right now. What is happening in the world, whether you're looking at Tunisia, Libya, Japan, what's happening in the government circles of the United States, there are very powerful spirit beings that are involved, good and evil. You and I have absolutely no power to deal with those directly ourselves. In fact, if we decide to leave what we're doing right here and go to Washington, you're not going to get anywhere. If anything, you can get hurt. We have to respond the way God wants us to respond. And God was revealing this information to Daniel to tell him, look, there's a whole different world out there that you haven't even considered, the world of good and evil spirit beings. And of course, no secular history book is going to talk about the spiritual conflict. They don't know beans about it. But it's there, and it's very, very real. Now, the strong angel revealed the vision dealt with future events that he had come to clarify them to Daniel. The last part of verse 14, now I'm come to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days? For the vision is for many days, or the future days that are coming. Now, showing again the great supernatural power of this angel, Daniel's head then lowered and he became speechless, so that a regular angel had to touch his lips again in order to give them the power just to reply to this angel. Verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground and I became speechless. And behold, one of the similitude of the sons of men, another one of these angels, touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and I spoke, and I said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, this is a reference, or sir, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my master? But for as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither was there any breath left in me. Another, Daniel said, it was hard for me even to breathe so that I could, you know, speak with him. It's like a big weight was on my chest. This is the presence of a very powerful being. Verse 18, then there came again, this third time, and touched me like one the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, don't be afraid. Peace be unto you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know wherefore I come unto you? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece is going to come. But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now, there's a tremendous amount of invaluable information that's given just in that little bit of information that the angel provided. The angel who was attending Daniel again touched him, giving him strength. The powerful angel again told Daniel not to fear, since he was highly esteemed by God, but to be at peace and be strong. So then Daniel received strength. He asked the strong angel to speak now that he had given Daniel the power to hear. The powerful angel reported that he would soon leave Daniel to fight again with the demon behind the Persian kingdom, and later that he would have to counter the main demon behind the kingdom of Greece that was going to arise as an empire. Now that tells us something. These angels don't die. They keep living. He was going to go from Persia then into Greece, and he might have had to switch from Greece and fight the demon that was behind Rome. And so this angel might actually be involved right now, holding at bay various imperial powers on the earth so that Israel doesn't get quashed and that the program of God, even in the church era, can continue. But this is really insight that we need to know. In fact, this mighty angel said that he had supported and protected Darius the Mede when he rose to power over efforts by demonic forces to destroy this ruler, who had helped Daniel in his lion's den crisis. Remember, Darius the Mede was the one who was tricked and cornered into putting Daniel in the lion's den? But he, as soon as God had provided for Daniel, he rescued Daniel out and he slew Daniel's enemies who opposed him. There was a mighty angel, apparently, who tried to defrock or have Darius killed because he wanted Daniel and all of the Jewish people to be destroyed. But this angel apparently supported Darius against the demon who was trying to destroy him. So, otherwise, Daniel in the lion's den might not have occurred. Daniel might have been annihilated. We get this little bit of insight as to how history has been affected dramatically. And, of course, because Daniel was protected and provided, we have the book of Daniel. So, and Michael, it's interesting, we get a little bit of insight about Michael. In verse 21 of Daniel 10, it says, Michael, your prince. Michael is the prince whose sole job is the protection of the nation Israel. This is why Israel is not annihilated. There is a mighty, powerful angel by the name of Michael who's protecting the people of Israel from being annihilated. And that will continue. He'll continue. In fact, his work will intensify dramatically during the Great Tribulation period. However, Daniel and all believers were to know that God has a book of truth in heaven, of which the Bible reveals some events. I don't know if you picked that up or not. In verse 21, I will show you that which is in the scripture, or the book of truth. This book of truth apparently records all future events, and the Bible only gives us insight into some future events. And this angel, beginning at chapter 11, verse 2, was going to give about 103 different prophecies that were fulfilled between Daniel's time and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, about wars between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, the two warring factions who ruled two different areas of Greece at the time. And Israel was caught up in the fray between those. It was during the period of the Maccabees and the Maccabean brothers and so forth. In fact, liberal scholars have looked at Daniel 11 and said that couldn't have been written in Daniel's time because it's too detailed. It had to have been written later. But they don't know that the book of Daniel is written in Royal Aramaic, which was a dead language by the time those events were fulfilled, which indicates the tremendous predictive power that was given to Daniel. But anyway, there's a book of truth in heaven of which the Bible reveals some events. And that book's events will occur under God's sovereign rule despite this angelic conflict. And that's the marvelous thing. God has written the book down. And no matter what any evil angel does, he cannot stop the events from that particular book from occurring. And that's something that we need to know. The mighty angel then revealed in Daniel 11:2 to 12:13, and we'll deal with this in a couple of messages to come, a detailed prophecy from the book of truth on the great conflict that Israel would face. The great conflict, and of course it would culminate in the great tribulation period and eventually the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the lesson is vastly superhuman angels, some of them are good, some of them are very evil, are locked in fierce combat right now, deeply affecting events in history. And this past week, there was a lot of activity going on because of the intensity of the events that were occurring. Yet God's sovereign will and blessing, in line with his heavenly book of truth, will be fulfilled, regardless of this conflict, and that to the blessing of his beloved godly believers. This is why it is absolutely important that whatever you do, you stay within the will of God. You step out of the will of God, you're subject to being collateral damage to this angelic conflict. And same with me. This is why I've stayed in Epoch Church. It's been 29 years tomorrow. The reason is because this is the assignment that God has given. He has not changed that assignment. Until he says otherwise, I don't dare do otherwise. Otherwise, I'll lose the effectiveness of the Lord in my life and ministry, and I'll actually open up myself to tremendous danger. So God's sovereign will and blessing in line with his heavenly book of truth will be fulfilled regardless of this conflict to the blessing of his beloved godly believers. So, in application, in light of the information of this chapter in Daniel 10, we need to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to live godly lives in heeding Scripture, that we enjoy God's blessing amid the superhuman, fierce war of spirit beings that wages around us throughout history. Then may we keep heeding God as the only safe, blessed, effective thing to do in our lives. Now, there was a tremendous application that came this past week. The need to rely on God for his power and leading in view of the angelic conflict that wages all around us today was evident in the religion section of the March 14, 2011 nationwide paper, the USA Today. On page 9A, Oliver Thomas, he's a member of the paper's board of contributors, and he's an author of the book, 10 Things Your Minister Wants to Tell You But Can't Because He Needs the Job. I disagree with this man's book 100%, but anyway. He had an article, America's Churches Can Help Change the World, in which he asked, is there a Moses in our midst? Thomas was calling church leaders to be another Moses, like the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had been, to be the conscience of a society and lead today's world in addressing global terrorism, climate change, overpopulation, the political and social unrest caused by economic disparity, or basically the typically politically liberal ideological agenda that errs with Scripture on a whole bunch of fronts. I can go into many sermons on that. But I noticed how Mr. Thomas referred to a biblical command, and he erred when he did so. He wrote, quote, despite the biblical command to give 10% of our income back to God, for example, the average church member gives 3%. Well, guess what? You've been taught for many years here that that's not a command that applies to the church age. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 and 7, you're supposed to give what you choose, not that 10%. So he actually errs at that particular point. But someone who reads this who doesn't know the Word of God that well can feel real guilty and feel, well, I've got to cough up 10%. Well, we shouldn't be surprised at this man's article and at his views. Superhuman demonic forces are at work in our world to deceive people into adopting errant views to their harm, including the belief that a church leader can, of his own initiative, stand up in the secular realm and extol an agenda and get productive with it. Without God's direction, this kind of an effort can only fail. So trying to heed Oliver Thomas's call is a sure recipe for ministry failure. The last thing I'm going to do is to obey what he is recommending that I do, because it differs with what God wants. And its design, it's like a lure of Satan to get us out from under the shield of God so we can get crushed. We are rather at the mercy of God's will as we live in a world that is fraught with supernatural, ongoing angelic conflict over which none of us mortals has the least personal human control. We need God's help to succeed in every single endeavor, so we have to do exactly what God ordains for us individually to do if we hope to succeed. The safest thing, the most productive thing for you and for me to do is to do what you are assigned by God for you to do, and for me to do what I'm assigned by God to do. Stepping out of that personal assignment is dangerous because of the angelic conflict. We need to hide behind the book of truth, you know, the leading of the Lord. So we need to stick to the location, stick to the ministry, stick to the calling that God has sovereignly assigned each of us, that we might be used of him as he determines for fullest blessing and fruitfulness. I put a passage down here, and I'd like to look at it just briefly in closing. John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. The Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, talking to his disciples. He who remains in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit and so shall you be my disciples. What God wants us to do is to remain in him. That means remain obedient to his word, remain obedient to his assignment. And in doing so, we will be blessed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the word of God here in this wonderful chapter in Daniel 10 that gives us just a brief glimpse of the phenomenal and overwhelming supernatural war that is going on behind the scenes of world history that we do well to be aware of, as Daniel was informed, to recognize that we just can't go out and set our own agenda in life and hope to succeed. It just doesn't work that way. We have to hide within the will of God. So may we focus on the assignment that we know that God has given to each one of us, the guidance that he's provided for us to do exactly and only and all of what he's assigned each one of us to do, that we might enjoy blessing and be used effectively within the plan of God. And I would pray, Father, that if there's anyone who's listening, either by way of the webcast or even in this ministry, in our service this morning in the building here, who as yet has not received Jesus Christ as his Savior, they would recognize that he really needs to trust in Christ to become a child of God and come under the protective care and watch care of God, and especially in view of the angelic conflict that wages about him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.